KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim. And with us are Hannah Baba and Leela Day. They're the creators of The Stoop, a podcast that digs deep into Black identity and the conversations that Black people are having with each other. Take a listen.
The Stoop.
The Stoop.
The Stoop.
The Stoop.
Stories about Black identity that aren't always shared in the open.
Shh, girl, we can't say that.
It's like a griot,
a hair salon,
a newsroom,
and your mama's kitchen all in one.
The Stoop. Those were the voices of Hannah Baba and Leela Day. Welcome, both of you.
Hi, thanks for having
us. So, Hannah Baba, you are Sudanese American, and Leela Day, you are African American, and you've said that this podcast was inspired by side conversations you'd have with each other when you used to work together in the KALW newsroom. So give us a sense of what those conversations were like.
Hannah Baba. So Leela and I worked for many years together in KALW, and we would be in the kitchen or we'd be around the water cooler and we'd start talking about our own experiences, right? Just like I would tell her something about my family. Oh, we're going to Sudan this year. I have to buy a ton of gifts. And Leela would not understand why I need to get a ton of gifts. Just like, isn't it just the ticket to go there and come back? And be like, no, I need to buy many things. Right. And I would have to kind of explain that to her. You know, we were both talking about things like hair. We were both talking about things like, do Black people need to take vitamin D? And do we need to wear sunscreen?
Yes. And conversations about, like, you know, is it okay for Black people to wear tribal clothing, for African Americans to wear tribal clothing if we aren't from the continent? So, like, these are conversations we would have, and we'd be like, can we make this into some sort of podcast or radio?
Leela was wearing these beautiful head wraps.
Yeah.
These very African print head wraps, and they were gorgeous. And so I would be like, they're really pretty. You know, where are they from? You know, are they from East Africa?
I don't know, but it's cute, right?
Are they from West Africa? And so I guess these kinds of topics just came up more and more in addition to more serious topics, you know, like mental health, education. And we thought, we need to make something.
Yes. And I think it's really interesting because a lot of times people will lump, right? If you are Black, they'll just lump your cultural experience as being all the same. Same with, you know, I'm Asian American, but I have very different experiences from Japanese Americans, Chinese Americans, so forth. Mm-hmm. But people feel like they know something about you because of this general sense of your identity. So that when you're actually having these conversations with people who may share the same sort of external identity, you're realizing that there are some significant differences in experience.
Yes.
And I was intrigued, Hannah Baba, when you said something about, you know, conversations I would have with my Sudanese community, that if Leela comes in, we'd just stop the conversation.
Yes.
So let's hear actually a little clip, too, from that appropriation show that you were talking about when African-Americans wear African tribal wear.
And for the folks in Radio Land, can you describe what you're wearing?
The neckwear is, I don't even know what you call this, but it's a multicolored kind of Afrocentric necklace.
You wear this for special occasions, special events, especially with the embroidery. It's a sign of class.
Those outfits sound incredible. I'm getting some ideas.
Right. Afropunk.
Don't know the story behind each piece, but I love the colors and the way it comes together.
But it's kind of like a future punk, tribal, African, almost kind of post-apocalyptic kind of style.
Yeah, but, you know, they sound like they're celebrating. They're really having a good time. There's a good vibe about it. But some other folks don't really have that same excitement about wearing African tribal wear.
Yep. Some people are saying that's appropriation.
You're hearing The Stoop, a podcast that digs into stories from the Black diaspora that are not always shared out in the open. And if you want to know the answer as to whether it is okay to wear African tribal wear when you didn't grow up in Africa, you'll have to listen to the podcast to find out. But as you were saying, Hannah Baba, there, you tackle more serious topics, and one of them was called The Problem with Sounding White. Leela Day, do you want to describe this episode?
Yeah, so this episode came up through a conversation actually that we had at the station as well about being told we sound white and people being surprised, having surprise reactions when they meet us and they see that we're black. So it was something that I was told growing up all the time, that I sounded white. Hannah was told that too.
All the time.
And it just becomes something, it was just normal to hear that you sounded white. So we really tried to break down what it means to sound white. What kids, we went to a skate park and talked to some kids that were accused of sounding white and talked to them about what it meant and what it made them feel. And just trying to really break down, like, what, you know, how, like, the pain that it causes also and the confusion that it causes for kids when they're told that they sound other. So, yeah, that was that whole episode.
And you also talked with our former host, Joshua Johnson, who now hosts the national show 1A, about this same experience that he had as well.
Yes, he was incredible because Joshua was saying, like, his experience being on the air was that a lot of people would meet him in person and say, oh, my gosh, I did not know that you were black. And so he would just have to say, yeah, I am.
Surprise.
And, you know, he has this really interesting story about a choral director when he was, you know, a teenager telling the chorus, I want you to sound like if you were standing behind that curtain, that everyone would think in the audience that you were a white choral group. Things like that, you know, that kids and all of us kind of hear growing up and we don't really realize, like, what it says to us until we get older. We're like, wait a minute.
Right. Like, at the time, you don't really understand what it means.
Yeah.
But later on, you understand. You get it.
Well, let's hear a little bit from that episode, Sounding White. And this will be you, Lila, actually talking about your own experience of this.
Okay, so for me, growing up, there were plenty of jokes about the way I talk.
Listen to how you talk, like a white girl. Who you think you is?
You sound white when you're on the phone.
But I couldn't help the way I sounded. It's like my default voice. You know, you have that default voice. And it's just how I speak. Not all the time, but I grew up in Las Vegas, and there were two types of black kids in school. And there were those who hung out with other black kids and those who bounced back between black and white friends. And I was in the second group.
So, Lila Day, how hard was it to get comfortable sharing all these personal things about yourself for this particular podcast? And I ask this in two ways. One is just the process of it being personal. But also, I feel like, especially, you know, in my own community, there's this thing about don't air your dirty laundry. Mm-hmm. Like, these are things that we don't share them for a reason, kind of thing.
They don't need to go out of the circle.
Right. I mean, I think that it was an interesting thing that happened with this podcast because me and Hannah had these conversations. Like, how do we have these conversations in the public that are conversations that we would normally have, you know, amongst friends? And I think that's what's really interesting about this podcast is that we do it in a way because we're talking to each other. We're talking to people, you know, who've had the same experience. So I don't think we're really creating something for, you know, the mass, you know. We're not thinking so much about, you know, how are people going to feel comfortable or uncomfortable hearing these conversations. We're thinking, like, how do we have these conversations and what can we actually conclude from them? Even sometimes we don't have a conclusion. We're like, you know, we don't know the answer to this.
I don't think,
you know,
is
it okay to wear African clothing? I don't know.
See, there's no conclusion. I think that comes from our journalist background. You know, you're taught to kind of bring forth the information, explore it, and then leave it. Like, you, mm-hmm. you know, you just kind of leave the audience with an idea to think about. And in terms of going deep, it was hard to kind of reference our own childhoods and the things mm-hmm. that made us feel pain. In another episode, you called me African what? I talk about being teased as a child, being called African booty scratcher in mm-hmm. school in the 80s in Texas in elementary school. I just dated myself. And it took a while for us to be comfortable with this kind of thing, you know, and that I was called African booty scratcher, not by the white kids, but by the black kids.
When we talked about this, we said, you know, are we actually putting out there these kind of small divisions amongst, you know, our cultures by talking about, you know, some issues that happened where Hannah was called these names by other black kids. But we thought it was really important that we talk about this because we need to move forward and we need to understand where it came from. So in that episode where Hannah was called this name, we really dug deep into why what was happening around that time, the whole, like, we are the world era and everyone's, you know, let's go and, you know, save Africa.
Save Ethiopian kids.
Right, era, and where that came from. So, yeah, it's hard going, getting personal. But
yeah. So, Hannah Papa, what is your goal, or do you have a hope for what that will accomplish by being honest, by sharing some of these more intimate conversations?
Well, I think my goal, and I feel like the podcast's goal, is to have conversations to foster understanding, I feel like, and to help people understand that Black is not a monolith. Black is diverse. It's Black Americans, it's African immigrant children of African immigrants, children of Caribbean immigrants. We do not all think alike. We do not all do the same things.
But we're all still Black.
But that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we do have differences. Let's acknowledge them. Let's talk about them and move forward. But because we're journalists and we need research and we need that study, we got studies too. That say, if people sit down and talk to each other, they can move forward together. It's like research needed to tell us that. But
we're talking with Hannah Papa. She is co-host and co-producer of The Stoop, which is a podcast about Black identity that airs on KALW and other stations. It airs on KALW, but it's a podcast, so you can get it. Hannah is also the host of KLW's Cross Currents News Magazine. Also with us is Lila Day. She's co-producer and co-host of The Stoop as well. And I'd like to invite you, our listeners, to join the conversation. What are the conversations you tend to have only with people who share your identity, or the topics that you tend to broach? Or what are your questions for just Lila and Hannah about doing a podcast and doing a podcast about topics like this that are intimate and important? You can call 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also post your comments on our website, kqed.org/forum. You can post them on Facebook, on Twitter. You can tweet us at KQED Forum. Our email is forum@kqed.org. Now, Hannah Papa, I know you mentioned that you and Lila just try not to be conscious of the audience as you're really looking at being honest with your own experiences and your own questions. But does the fact that the public radio audience, that it's mostly white, shape your thinking or affect the way that you approach certain topics or how you're trying to get your podcast out there? Or
audience has been a big learning point for us in this first season. We came into this feeling that we're just going to tell our stories. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. We did talk to our white producer friends who said we would love to be flies on the wall, on these conversations, and learning about kind of Black dynamics. But, you know, and Lila can talk about this, and she wrote a whole article for Transom about it, about audience and to what extent will our majority white audience be attracted to a podcast like this.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've found that there is no way to actually break down the ethnicity of your audience, right, through like your podcast numbers. But what we found just through social media and a lot of people that are following us, they tend to be more African, which is super interesting because that was one of our goals, more African, more African American as well. So we're finding that we're building like a really unique audience with this. But we also, you know, we do have people that have emailed us that have said, I am a white woman and I was accused of sounding Black when I did, you know, telemarketing phone calls. And that's something I'd like for you guys to discuss on The Stoop. And we were like, well, yeah, that's super interesting. Like, that we can actually have a conversation and it actually is relatable to a lot of people, regardless of color they are.
I mean, when I talk to
Papa.
Yes. I feel like a lot of our episodes are relatable to many other groups. We just don't realize it at the beginning. I was talking to some of my Indian friends the other day, and they were saying this whole difference, you know, between Africans and African Americans and these topics, we can so relate to it as the difference between second or third generation Indian Americans versus the one that just stepped off the plane. There are these differences and there are stereotypes of the other, you American born children who don't know our traditions. And then facing the other way, you fresh off the boat person who is from my heritage, but you know, you're old fashioned, like within the same nationality even. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it can, other people can relate to what we're saying just in different ways.
Mm. Well, let's hear from our callers, Valerie in Walnut Creek. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, ladies. How are you today? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Hey.
I will just speak briefly. I don't know if you were able to see the comment on CNN when there was a response by Angela, by Simone Sanders, and April about Omarosa leaving, and they said, I do want to talk about the Alabama vote, but there's something I want to do first, which I can do and, Brooke, you can't do. And she proceeded to step away from the very polished look and say, hey, and give a very candid response. I don't know if you saw that piece, but I thought it was very telling about the differences we as African Americans are able to incorporate when we talk about other African Americans. Mm-hmm. So I'll take my response off the air, but I just wanted to know if you had seen that piece and what your reaction to it was as well.
And just a little background, Omarosa, she is the former reality show. I think she was in a reality show, but she left the White House job that she had this week, and there's a lot of questions around her departure mm-hmm. from the White House.
Yes.
Do you have an answer for Valerie?
I wanted to answer this in a different way, where you feel like you can wear different hats at different times. I think that's what she's talking about in terms of, as Black people, we have, like, I can talk to Leela in a certain way and get comfortable and get casual. But when I'm talking to my audience, whether it's on Cross Currents or whatever it is, or just a general public, the tone is different. And I feel like this is something that we have been also learning, is our journalist and reporter voice versus, hey, Leela, how's it going? Mm-hmm. What's going on? And will we still be heard and respected and valued when we go down that kind of casual conversation sisterhood route or mm-hmm. not?
Right.
That's been something that was interesting to explore.
Well, let's talk about some of the other topics you've looked at. There was one that I found intriguing, which was called I Love You, and it explores what could be behind the fact that neither you, Leela, or you, Hannah Baba, heard your parents say, I love you very much. What were you trying to explore there, Leela Day?
I think I was just trying to make my parents very uncomfortable. Mm.
She got in bed with her
parents. I got in bed with my parents, and I asked them if they heard I love you growing up. And because it wasn't something that I heard very often, but I would hear it a lot from a lot of my, you know, younger white friends. And they'd be like, love you, mom.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you.
And I just thought, I want to be able to say that, you know. And Hannah, when I brought it up to Hannah, I was like, do your parents say I love you? She was like, crickets, right?
No,
they didn't say it.
But it was said in different ways. I love you, you know. It was, God give you health, God grant you this, God grant you that, which was the equivalent of I love you to us.
Right. And for me and my experience, it was just this, it was just the way, like, my Southern parents were raised. So we really, in that episode, we go to San Quentin Prison and we talk to a lot of men who also share that it wasn't something that they grew up hearing. And so that episode, I loved that episode. I just loved it. It was just, it just really broke down why it is that that maybe some African Americans or some Black people do not say I love you, that we're taught to be strong and straightforward and teach your children to move through situations with a bit of like a hard armor.
And especially men.
Black men. So we talk to, you know, an academic about some research about, you know, Black male affection. So yeah, that was I love you.
Mm-hmm. Well, this listener asks, did the guests read the novel Americana? Big theme is about how different Black cultures are.
Oh, yes.
Hannah Baba.
And Chimamanda, if you're listening, we would love to have you on The Stoop.
Yes. Email us, call us.
Call us,
please.
Up, thestoop.org. Yes. Beautiful book, beautiful story. I could relate to it. I came to this country when I was a child, a baby, and the character in Americana comes at a later age. But it's very similar to these issues that we're talking about. These kind of the clashes, the stereotyping back and forth between Africans and Black people.
Yes.
But also
the hair salon.
The hair salon, the braiding salon mm-hmm. versus the hair salon. But that in the end, society sees you as one thing, mm-hmm. right? When you're walking down the street, people don't see I am a Sudanese American from Khartoum, Sudan, and Leela is, you know, African American from Las Vegas. They see a Black person.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? And we were having conversations also about, I talk to my brothers about this all the time, that when you're in a car and you get pulled over by police, you know, don't get it twisted. You are Black to that policeman. They will not ask where you're from. They don't care. They
about
will not
your passport.
They don't ask about your passport. They don't ask about how many degrees you have. Mm-hmm. I think stories like Americana have definitely influenced us.
Yeah, inspired us.
And it's just this constant juxtaposition of being both so visible as a person of color, but also so invisible because of the stereotypes or ideas that people think they have.
Right.
Well, let's hear from Alex in Oakland. Hi, Alex.
Oh, hi there. Great conversation. Definitely going to download your podcast. really quickly, my mother's Black and my father's white. And recently in the last like few years, maybe just because how I've been wearing my hair, everyone thinks I'm Latino. Latinos, African-Americans, white people, everyone confuses me for that. And I was at a party recently talking with other Black friends about this and how I was frustrated about that. And we ended up getting in this fight because they were like, well, their kind of conclusion was that I wasn't Black and that I shouldn't. And anyway, I guess my question is if your show I felt really ostracized and angry about that. And I was wondering if your show talks about the mixed race African Americans being othered a little bit.
Alex, thank you.
That is definitely one of the topics, sneak peek, for next season that we were planning on doing.
Congratulations.
Yes. So we just wrapped up our first season. We are deep in reporting for our next season. We're very excited about it. And that's definitely something we plan to delve into. Mixed marriages, just being mixed, colorism, hair, all of this mm-hmm. is coming up, Alex. So tune in and send us, you know, your stories also online, stoop.org.
You had a piece this first season called Coming to America, What African Immigrants Wish They Knew Before They Came to the U.S. Mm. And when you were mentioning earlier, Hannah Baba, about the stereotypes that people have about Africans sort of fresh off the boat, old-fashioned, give us a sense of what are some of the other challenges that they feel like they need to overcome.
Okay. I need to go down memory lane now. did you live in a hut? Do you have a pet monkey? Did you have clothes? You know, just these questions that I had to grow up with were very, at first you think people are curious. They have no idea about Africa, the whole continent, the big diverse continent that it is. And then after the curiosity, sometimes with some people comes the condescension, kind of putting you down because of where you are, hence the epithet that I was called about African booty scratcher. And it's something we talked about a lot. Just like, what is that? And where on earth did that come from? And what does it even mean? You know, mm-hmm. I think it means, you know, you're backward, you're primitive, you're just standing there scratching your body or whatever it is. it was mean. And
it was coming from multiple different communities.
From multiple different communities. But also then when you grow up and you realize that there is no such thing as a Black monolith in this country, right? That okay, this is my people, this is your people, and this is your people. We're not the same. We need to try to get along, but let's at least be civil with one another. That's something definitely that we dealt with growing up, and just the different culture, mm-hmm. the different foods, coming to school with, ew, what is that lunch? What is that? It smells. Why does your mom wear a quote-unquote Pizza Hut tablecloth on her head, with the, which is the hijab. So I could go on, Mina, but I don't think
you unpack all the, of these things that we don't often hear about. You know, we very, I just don't feel like I hear very much from the African immigrant community. I want to play just a little bit more from Sounding White. This is the part that you talked about earlier, Lila Day, about visiting a skate park and talking with kids there about Sounding White.
Yeah. They be saying I talk white. I get pissed off. They only do because my mom's white, you know, so I have to speak respectable. And they think since I'm black, I have to act ghetto and be stupid.
I guess talking white would be like, I don't know. Like, I want to say, like, speaking proper, I guess. Like how most white people talk or most normal people talk, you know?
One of the things that stood out to me about this episode, Lila Day, was when you were talking with Chinaka Hodge on a stoop at the end of it, and you were talking about blackness almost as performance. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about what that was?
Well, so Chinaka Hodge is a poet, amazing, you know, writer in Oakland, and we met with her and we talked about, she actually was asked to do a lot of voiceover work, and she was asked to have more of an urban voice sometimes and to perform blackness in certain ways. And I think that that is something that happens a lot, especially in people in the entertainment world. But also, it's also for that episode, what we talked about was like our default voice, like how we normally sound and how we normally feel comfortable and what it would sound like if we were on the air just talking like, you know, how we all, you know, how we talk when we hang out, and maybe how that would break down some barriers about what it means to quote unquote sound white or sound black. And so in that episode, we also talked about, you know, the ways that black folks pronounce certain things and what it means to have, you know, a black voice. I think Chinaka was pretty amazing in breaking down, like, she actually studied black voice. So there's people that actually study this stuff, right? And study, like, black speech. So, yeah, it was a really incredible conversation.
Yes, these are just sort of the messy, difficult, complicated conversations that you get into in The Stoop. Tell me if you can give us, you already gave us a little flavor of season two, but what else could we see?
Well, we are definitely, we got to go there with hair. We're definitely going there with hair, with black hair.
I can't believe we didn't talk about hair this whole season.
I don't know how we did it, but there's definitely some conversations around hair that are going to be coming up, but in a different way. What else, Anand?
I mean, mental health, yeah. Definitely. The way that both our communities have this reliance on religion, spirituality, and traditional medicines rather than go to the psychiatrist or a therapist. We're going to talk about colorism, the brown paper bag test.
Well, that's season two of The Stoop. You should check it out. Our hosts, the hosts of The Stoop, Lila Day and Hannah Baba, are in studio with us this morning. They combine journalism and storytelling in a podcast that digs deep in what it means to be black and how we talk about blackness. Thanks so much, both of you, for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And thanks to our listeners. Have a great weekend. I'm Mina Kim. This is Forum.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.